Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Monday, hour number two, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Spent the weekend watching college hoops and moving into a new house, and it needs a lot of work. You know, it's one of those old houses. And I asked my wife, Joy, I said, when do you think it'll all be done? And she looked at me deadpan and said, Thanksgiving. I'm like, what? Like, I thought it was like 4 days. Like, it's like none of our furniture matches this house. So I'm like, get out the American Express card.
Make it happen. I mean, well, you guys are really making this like a home, because you like to move a lot.
But this one, I'm done.
You're settling in.
I'm making a promise. I'm done moving. This is it.
I don't believe you.
I know.
But you're trying to set some roots here. So you should take your time, you know?
Yeah. We got a good bit. It's good for the dogs.
Yeah. Anne's an amazing decorator.
So she's gonna if it's good for the dogs, if the dogs are happy, the house is happy, and our dogs are in love with it. All right, Mondays, this is the time, Colin Right, Colin Wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. It's their month of giving, 200 charities across America. Learn more, find out a store by you, or visit jerseymikes.com. Jersey Mike's be a sub above, Colin Right, Colin Wrong. Here we go.
Where Colin was right?
Well, we said Chicago was making a big swing at Russell Wilson, and that was confirmed by two separate reports. We also said we thought they would work it out because these two are good together, Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. We also said age, I was told, was a determining factor for Pete Carroll. That was confirmed as well. So after 2 weeks of some ugly public turbulence, Pete Carroll, a very good coach, and Russell Wilson, a very good quarterback, decided to stay put.
Where Colin was wrong.
Listen, I've said the second chapter in LeBron's book is going to be he never gets hurt. Now we have a second serious injury in the last 3 years, and this was a LeBron didn't go to the court and slam a fist and scream and scowl very often. He did. Out indefinitely, high ankle sprain. He was near the NBA lead in minutes. Is this the condensed schedule? Is it just a bad break? This looks serious. And listen, there are no Supermans, despite what Brady did. You know, this is what you see at the end of careers. Kevin Durant now, you get dinged up more and bums me out, but it's a reality of what the Lakers have now.
Where Colin was right?
I've always defended Matt Nagy. I've always had questions about the GM, Ryan Pace of the Bears, and last week it was confirmed. They don't know what they're doing. Listen, Andy Dalton is fine when you give him Dallas receivers or you give him Cincinnati receivers years ago. He's not built to deliver and win games behind an average offensive line with limited skill people. That's what Chicago is. Okay, this is 0-for-4 on quarterbacks. Mike Glennon, Nick Foles traded up for Mitch Trubisky and Andy Dalton. He's literally the wrong fit. If you want somebody that works for Chicago, Sam Darnold, a playmaker, or Marcus Mariota, a playmaker, would be really interesting fits. What you probably wouldn't want is like a Tyrod Taylor or an Andy Dalton, which is very good in the pocket, but they're more distributors than playmakers. They went and got Dalton, makes no sense.
Where Colin was wrong.
I thought Juju Smith-Schuster, a very good slot receiver with 97 catches, would have a robust market. I mean, he's a little silly on social media, and that's, you know, a little self-centered on social media, and some people I've been told are turned off by that. But I'm also told that he didn't have much of a market. He went back and took a one-year, $8 million deal for the Steelers. Some of this is Pittsburgh is so good at drafting receivers that every year they bring in a star. And frankly, he's not much of an after-the-catch dynamic performer. He's more of a slot guy, get you 8 yards a catch, and that's about it. There's no yards after the catch. But I thought he would have a much more dynamic market, and he didn't.
Where Colin was right?
Said forever, Chris Paul's the most underrated player in the last 10 years in the NBA. Phoenix is 20-5 in their last 25 games. They were a tire fire the last 3 years with the same guys. That's the best record in the NBA. He had a triple-double last night. The sixth player ever to have 10,000 assists. You know what cracks me up? He's everything that the NBA's moved away from. He's a little dirty. He barks at players. He's a mid-range guy. He is not an AAU guy. He will get after players. He'll get right in your face. He'll call you out. But is there a guy in the NBA outside of LeBron that goes to a franchise and literally turns them around immediately? It's the same guy as last year. This team hasn't won in forever. They haven't been to the playoffs in 11 years. Chris Paul arrives and they're great again.
Where Colin was wrong.
There's so much I like about the Washington football team. I don't get Ryan Fitzpatrick. Like, he's fun. He's got a cool aura. But he's a 38-year-old mistake-prone gunslinger. Isn't that the opposite of what Washington needs? If you would have given me a list of 9 quarterbacks, this would have been my 9th pick. Their defense is great. I like Ron Rivera a lot. I thought they had momentum. I think they've actually now got some really nice skill people. It's an incredibly winnable division. What you can't do, though, is beat yourself. And though Fitzpatrick is a blast to watch, you know, he's the big Lebowski of the NFL, he occasionally beats himself. So I just didn't get this one. This one was a whiff for me.
Where Colin was right.
I have been a big fan of Sean McDermott and the Buffalo Bills front office for the last several years. And once again, they did it. They went out and got Emmanuel Sanders. All this organization does is smart stuff to support Josh Allen. They rebuilt the O-line in year one. Then it was Cole Beasley, a slot guy. Then it was Stephon Diggs. And now it's the smart veteran comes in, always delivers immediately. He's a wonderful number two. Not going to beat you over the top, but in 2 years, Sean McDermott is 23-9. I think he's the best young defensive coach in Buffalo. You hit it. Listen, in the NFL, if you have a good owner, a good GM, a good coach, and a good quarterback, you're in a Super Bowl. And Buffalo is, for the next 10 years, they're in the Super Bowl discussion.
Where Colin was wrong.
James Harden used to wear me out in Houston. I thought he was selfish offensively and disengaged defensively. He's been great in Brooklyn. He's the total heart and soul of this team. First of all, he leads the NBA in assists, 11 a game. He's become very unselfish. He's more engaged defensively. He's more verbal. Listen, KD and Kyrie, sometimes hard to trust them physically. This team's the hottest team in the league with a bunch of kids and James Harden. They're fun to watch. He's really changed the culture. And by the way, what is Houston without him? They have a hole in that basketball franchise. So I say this, it's not just what you do when you arrive somewhere. What happens when you leave somewhere? What is Houston without Harden, the league's worst team?
Where Colin was right.
The first 9 games of Drew Locke's career, I said, there's something interesting. The next 15, I was out. The Broncos appear out too on Drew Locke. George Patton, real name of their GM, made a public comment last week. They are looking around. There's also a report the NFL Network confirmed they offered Matt Stafford. There's other reports that have been confirmed they're very interested or were in Deshaun Watson. Listen, first 9 games, he had a big arm. He was kind of a gamer. I kind of liked him. But if you watch him play, he's too casual, throws up too many 50-50 balls. His judgment is iffy. And I think Denver sees what I see, which is Justin Herbert, Patrick Mahomes, Derek Carr. You can't have easily the 4th best quarterback in the division, and he is.
Where Colin was wrong.
But I don't understand why there's no market for Sam Darnold. None. He fits Chicago, passed. He fits Washington, they passed. Has he disappeared on the trade market? He's athletic. He's got a lot of starts. He's 23. He's coachable. You can't find anybody for the Jets who doesn't like him. And he had to overcome Adam Gase. I don't get it. I get the skeptics. I get the cynics. But wasn't he at least a good fit for Chicago? I thought he was a great fit for Washington. I think you could get him and sell that Washington locker room on young, talented, athletic, takes us to another level. And they went Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Where Colin was right?
Well, I did get one thing right in the tournament. I called one blowout. I said, I'm only going to make one major blowout prediction. Colorado's going to hammer Georgetown, and they did. It's nothing against Georgetown, but Georgetown was sub 500 before they got to their tournament. But people like the Patrick Ewing story, and they like when teams get hot in their conference tournament. But Georgetown wasn't a very good basketball team, and Colorado's a team that can score. And by the way, the Pac-12 has had a great tournament. The Big Ten, not so much. But this was my one blowout prediction, Colorado to hammer Georgetown, and they did. All right. Chris Broussard around the corner today. Free agent stuff. Joy is manning the phones. I got a new I got a iPhone 12 this weekend.
Wow.
I know. That's my wife's reaction.
What prompted that?
Well, I moved, and so I was back in my old stomping grounds doing some stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm driving around, and I had about 90 minutes to burn waiting for somebody, and I'm like, that's a Verizon store. I'm going to go get a new phone. And it took all the 90 minutes.
Oh, yeah. It's going to take some time now.
Yeah.
Good for you. What, you had like an iPhone 4 or something?
Yeah. Like, I honestly, you could, it was almost a liability. Like, if I was in danger, first of all, when you have an iPhone 4, 5, or 6, they run out of charge.
Oh, yeah. That's what, yeah. Yes.
And I'm not joking. I wake up charged. 9:45 in the morning, I'm out of gas.
Yeah.
This thing, it's like a Tesla. I mean, you plug it in overnight, I am good to go.
So I mean, I've
been on this thing all morning. I got nothing to worry about.
Good for you.
Yes, I've moved into the 21st century.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman, and I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, The Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcast.
Saturday, April 3rd, MLB is back as the Braves face Bryce Harper and the Phillies. Then the reigning champion Dodgers take on the Rockies. All on FS1 and the Fox Sports app.
A lot of stuff going on. This is interesting. Per the Brooklyn Nets, Kyrie will not accompany the team on their three-game road trip to tend to a family matter. That's why James Harden has been so valuable. If KD's brittle, Kyrie, there's these personal situations, and James Harden puts the team in his back, now leads the NBA in assists, gives you 30 a night. That's what I say with the Lakers. AD's brittle, LeBron's getting older. Do you need a Bradley Beal? It's like an insurance policy to make sure. I mean, you got now, AD just signed a new deal for, I think, 5 years. I think that was a long contract, so it's an insurance policy. You need to ensure that when AD, who gets hurt, or KD, who gets hurt, are off, what's your insurance policy? Harden's it for Brooklyn. Lakers don't really have one. Chris Broussard's now joining us live. I mean, I'll be honest. I think Harden's shocked me how engaged he is. I mean, he's never been a great defensive player, but he's now a very good distributor. The culture is very unselfish. This Kyrie story is, you know, at some point, you just have to come to terms with what people are. I've said this. Kevin Durant's brittle. Anthony Davis is brittle. Kyrie is inconsistent. And when I hear that story, I think this is kind of, you know, if you're trying to redefine him, couldn't I just make the argument that Kyrie's going to have four or five of these a year, right? Like, he's got a family matter to tend to.
When I first saw that he was going to be off and not knowing it was a family issue, I wanted to go off. I was ready to be like, this is ridiculous, because in the past 2 or 3 weeks, we've seen Kyrie just take a day off. I mean, they've put an injury on it, but I've been like, okay, he'll be back for the next game and he'll drop 35. And that's what he does, because he's not hurt. So he's taking these games off, and I felt like they need to play as much as possible together. They don't need to be taking rest days, but it's a family matter. I know Kyrie's family. His dad's a great guy. So I'm going to, you know, give them the benefit of the doubt. They got to deal with something for the family. But that is one of the only question marks you could have about the Nets is Kyrie's mental state. You know, because a few, you know, months ago when he took that 2-week hiatus or whatever you want to call it, that wasn't all family related. Some of it perhaps, but some of it was, you know, him being upset about what happened in D.C. So I hope Kyrie can remain engaged and steady throughout the entire season. I hope that he's fine playing off the ball most of the time and letting James Harden be the quarterback and point guard, because that's when they're at their best. That's one of the few questions. If Kyrie stays engaged mentally, I don't know who's stopping them once Durant gets back.
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting with James Harden, who, again, I used to think was kind of disengaged and selfish. When I look at James Harden now, I'm like, well, I don't trust KD's health, and Kyrie's missing more games. James Harden has come out of this thing, and I'm like, he's the heart and soul of the team. He feels very much to me like Steph Curry. I don't love him on the defensive end, but if there's injuries, if there's stuff, you could always trust Steph. Steph would always kind of bring it together. I kind of think Harden's become that. I really do think he's the heart and soul of the team right now. I really do.
Well, first of all, on the court, Colin, he is playing the point guard position. Some of the best point guard play we've seen ever. And I meant to say that, ever, not just right now. He is playing some of the best point guard that we've ever seen. He's being unselfish. He's not over dribbling. The ball is moving. Oh, and when you need him to, he'll give you 40. You know, like, he is awesome. And I knew he had these skills. We saw him in Oklahoma City, you know, when he was a young kid there with Durant and Westbrook. And you kind of saw him in Houston early on. And then when D'Antoni got there, he just became this scoring machine. But I knew he had these abilities. When they came together, this big three, I said, look, if they're smart, they'll have Harden at the point guard, Kyrie at the two, and let Durant do his thing in the front court. They figured that out. And I'm not surprised at how well he's running the offense, because this is who he is. And to your point, the unselfishness has become contagious. That ball is moving.
Yep.
Bruce Brown, Nick Claxton, Joe Harris, Jeff Green, these guys are getting their touches, and so they're happy. So what are they doing? They're hustling on the defensive end, and that's made them a decent defensive team. I think over the last month and a half, they're about 14th in the league defensively, and that's all they need to be when they have that type of offense. So I agree with you. Harden is the heart and soul of the team, at least at this point. And look, in the playoffs, we question him, right? Will he be there in a big game? Well, you got Kyrie for
that. That's right. That's right.
You got KD for that. So I think Harden will be a great distributor and still give you 20-something. So,
you know,
good for him that people are able to see this side of him.
Yeah, no question. I flipped. He used to drive me nuts, but I think he's been a very engaged player. And I was saying this last night, that when you get KD and Kyrie, Harden's the world's most talented insurance policy. We don't know if he's good in the postseason, but he's a great regular season guy who can totally carry a franchise. I mean, Houston's now awful. And I look, and I think of this. KD has some similarities to AD. Hurt a lot. LeBron's now aging. Now he's much more emotionally dependable than Kyrie, but now he's had his second serious injury in 3 years. And it makes me think the Lakers need to go out and get a third star. Because we know, if you get into the playoffs with LeBron, you're going to be fine. But he is aging, and AD is brittle. And I wonder if the Lakers look at the Brooklyn model and think, we go get a Bradley Beal. We don't know how good he is in the postseason. We don't know. But he can get us in the playoffs if AD's hurt as LeBron ages. And that Brooklyn model now, I wonder with LeBron's injury, do the Lakers look at that and think, maybe that's the model when you have a brittle star and an aging star?
Well, no, I think that's a great point. And I also think there's another angle to it, Colin. If Brooklyn's as good as we think they are, and we all seem to think KD's just going to fit in seamlessly for the most part, then I don't know who's beating them. And just from a competitive standpoint, if this goes as a lot of people think it will, and Brooklyn wins the championship, then the Lakers are going to have to figure out, how can we compete with them? So they do need to do everything they can. I think Bradley Beal would be the perfect guy. Now, I don't know how they get that done. I don't see the assets on their team to get a Bradley Beal. You, obviously, you're not giving up LeBron or AD, but he would be the perfect guy for them to go get. They're going to need a big three
yep.
to try to compete with that Brooklyn monster. So they got to go out and get somebody to aid their two superstars.
Listen, I've always thought that I'm not into the most valuable player award. I think it's mostly about stories and stats. But it is interesting. LeBron's now hurt. And when KD and Kyrie come back, Harden's not going to be as productive. We know that. How about let's go the opposite? Let's go for the player that is shoots mid-rangers, isn't flashy, doesn't dunk, isn't in the headlines. What about what Chris Paul has done this year? They are 20-5, best record in the league. This was a roster that none of it tied together, none of it cinched up. He has walked into this franchise. How about Chris Paul? And I don't even like MVP topics. How about him for MVP?
Well, and he makes great commercials, too, so there's that. But I look, Colin, this is going to be a year where there's an odd MVP winner. Usually LeBron being out the next 3 or 4 weeks, Embiid being out 2 weeks or whatever, usually that would take them out of the race because that's too many games to miss. But the other MVP leaders aren't, you know, their teams aren't winning a ton of games. Giannis, you usually wouldn't give him 3 in a row with his postseason struggles, but other guys are hurt. And, you know, like I said, some guys don't have great records. Could Damian Lillard be in the run with his team in the 6th position or 5th position because he's playing so well? So it's going to be a strange MVP award. So to that point, I do think Chris Paul now is emerging as a legitimate contender for the award. Now, I had him as a contender. I don't remember the year, but when he was in New Orleans, he had a tremendous year 1 year. I think LeBron may have won it that year. I don't remember who won it. But he's been in the running before. But to your point, look, people look at the numbers. I think he's at about 16 points,
yep.
8 assists.
Yep.
But the impact he's having on that team is tremendous. And this is a year where it's not going to be your typical winner. And so if they end up with, I don't know if they could have the top seed in the West, but just the 2nd seed, because Utah doesn't have a contender for MVP, he has a shot.
Yeah.
I mean, my front runner right now would be Harden. But Chris Paul is right there in the top 5 with Giannis, Jokic, Lillard. And then I think Luka, if Dallas keeps playing well and winning, he could move back into the race. But, yeah, Chris Paul is legitimately in the race.
Yeah, he's my kind of MVP. Defense, snarky, yells at people. It's my kind of guy.
Old school. I like the old school. I'm with you.
Yeah, good stuff. Chris,
you can't be so sensitive now.
Yeah, everybody is so sensitive these days. All right, Chris, appreciate it, buddy. Check out the How We Reach coaching tool. It's a free app you can download at reach.gov. You'll find steps everybody could take to prevent suicide. Reach for support. Reach for those who need help. Download the How We Reach app at reach.gov today. A serious matter. Enjoy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
The Patriots have been big spenders this offseason. Robert Kraft told Peter King that their active approach to free agency was a calculated risk. He said it's like investing in the stock market. You take advantage of corrections and inefficiencies in the market when you can, and that's what we did here. Nothing is guaranteed, and I'm very cognizant of that, but we're not in the business to be in business. We're in the business to win.
And also, beyond market efficiencies, it's Belichick's inefficiencies. They've drafted, do you know, in the last, I'm going to look this up. Hold on.
Okay.
I don't even know if I have this. I wrote it down somewhere. Hold on 1 second. In the last 8 years, New England has 3 offensive Pro Bowlers, Brady, Gronk, and a fullback. That's a problem. They're slow. They're not. Listen, you don't have to be a football expert. They're the slowest offense in the league last 2 years.
Well, they've been able to rely on Brady.
Oh, thank you. And it, by the way, you know what's amazing? Let me bring this up. Do you realize a year ago in New England, Joy, they were not only 12-4, they were the 7th best offense in the NFL with Brady. Now think about this. Their number one tight end had 173 yards all season. Their number two wide receiver had 397 yards. And they finished number seven in scoring. Oh, they must have had a great run game. No, it was 18th. How in God's name were they not only 12-4, a top seven offense? They had no tight end, no great run game, no number two, three, or four wide receiver. Like, I think we're forgetting, we know Brady's good, but, and Cam's talented, and you saw what he had to deal with. How did they go 12-4? Brady left, and it's like, oh, crap, there's no players here.
Well, we knew that they didn't have any players. It just, Brady made it seem like maybe it's manageable, and obviously the Patriots relied on him to do that. That's why it seems kind of crazy that they were willing to let him go and not be this kind of aggressive while he was there. I mean, you ask him to take a pay cut every single year, you would think you'd put some pieces around him.
But it's such a win for Brady. So they would never spend money like this, ever. And now they spend the most money. And essentially, Tom's going, you know, if you'd have done that, I would have stayed. If they would have made these tight end moves a year and a half ago, both these tight end moves, it is likely Brady would have stayed. If Brady would have had an assurance, will you draft more receivers? If they would have gotten Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, Brady would look at that and go, okay, I've got a top five tight end group.
Well, I think the story is better because he left.
Oh, it's way better.
I want to see what Cam is able to do with all these pieces. Again, they had 8 opt-outs last year that are coming back as well. So they're going to look like a completely different team. In a full offseason, another year in the system, I'm with you. I think that they may be looking to make a move in the draft, but I don't think he's going to start this year, whoever it is they take, if they're able to do that. Yeah. So I really want to see what the Patriots do. And if you look around the division, we don't know what Tua is going to be. And we have no idea what the Jets are, who their quarterback is going to be. Yeah. We know the Bills are great, but that's a playoff team, and I want to see what they do. So we were just talking about Chris Paul. The Suns secured a big win over the Lakers Sunday night, and Chris Paul made history in the process. He recorded his 10,000th career assist on a lob to DeAndre Ayton.
Boom!
This makes CP3 the 6th player in NBA history to reach that milestone. Yes. Now I'm imagining you calling games like doing play-by-play.
By the way, Ayton's a really talented kid out of the University of Arizona, but he was a little lost his rookie year in the league. This is what Chris Paul does. He cinches everything together. Like, the team was just Devin Booker and Ayton. It was a bunch of talented guys, and they couldn't. They bring in Monty Williams. They bring in Chris Paul. Chris barks at people. You know, it's like Ayton was talking about 2 weeks ago. He's like Chris, late in games, goes into the huddle and says, you do this, and you do this, and you do this.
And they respect him, so they listen to him.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the AAU world is kind of, we're all friends, and like, Chris isn't. That's he was more high school. He's a little predated for that stuff, so he's a little old school. We're like, you know, in high school, you got barked at. And then you went to college for 4 years and you got barked at. That's the old school. AAU is more, everybody needs those players, so it's more player friendly. There's something wrong with that. But in the end, it's not bad to have an old school guy on the roster who directs traffic.
Well, everything is about balance. You can take care of your stars, but at the end of the day, if you want to win, it's going to come down to crunch time and big moments and someone who knows what to do in those moments, and he does. They're 28-13 through the season. Through 41 games last season, they were 17-24. He's averaging 15.9 points, 8.8 assists per game, and they are currently 2nd in the West. And as we know, LeBron James just suffered an injury. AD is still out, so things can get very interesting in the NBA playoffs, which is not too far away. So the NFL has announced their plans for the 2021 draft. The league will hold an in-person draft at various locations across Cleveland this year. Oh. The main stage will be against the backdrop of Lake Erie. They'll also have events at First Energy Stadium, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, and the Great Lakes Science Center. A select number of prospects will take the stage when their names are announced. Others will participate remotely, and there'll be a limited number of fans and media in attendance, and it begins, obviously, on April 29th.
Yeah, they've been very smart about this. They did Philly, and they did Chicago, and now they do Cleveland. Like,
well, remember Vegas was supposed to be last year, and that was supposed to be an extravaganza. Like, they were bringing the guys across, like, I think the Bellagio fountains or something. Like, it was a lot planned, and obviously we know what happened with COVID. So Vegas will actually be next year, so they postponed it another year. so that Vegas can have its proper, you know, because this is a big deal. A lot of people travel for the draft. It's become, you remember, we're showing Nashville now. Look at the crowds.
Look at Nashville.
That they had there. Yes.
Look at that. Jeez, that was incredible.
It was insane. Yes. So obviously they can't do that right now, but that's what Vegas would prefer. So when it is safe to do that, they want to have it there. But I'm glad they're doing it in person. I love what they did last year. It was really cool to see everybody in their houses.
And
they did an amazing job with it, despite really extreme circumstances.
I got to tell you something. There's the design. What they're going to do. No, just think. I mean, if you ever question the NFL's appeal, can you imagine having a hockey or a baseball or a basketball draft and filling a downtown city? I mean, this thing is, you go look at those pictures of Nashville, Joy. That is Mardi Gras.
Yeah, I was in shock. I remember watching it like, wow, there are so many. Like, no wonder they're moving it around and not having it in New York every year.
It's like 4 days of commerce.
It's great for those cities, first of all. And yeah, it's a whole fan fest.
I love the pictures of Nashville. It's insane looking.
It's really crazy. Pre-COVID, I'm not a huge crowd person, so it would really freak me out. But you know, they're hoping to get back to that point, and that's why they're moving Vegas so
awesome.
A year away. But I'm glad they're having it in Cleveland this year.
Good stuff. Look at those pictures.
Yeah.
God.
Wow.
Just wild.
There's a little bit of partying going on there.
It's a draft.
Yep.
People are standing for hours.
Yeah.
I've been to downtown Nashville. That is
That looks like the Super Bowl crowds.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
What's up, everyone? It's me, three-time NFL All-Pro Sean Merriman. And I have a new sports podcast called The Lights Out Podcast with Sean Merriman. This podcast is special to me as I get a chance to talk to some of the best who've ever done it on the field or the track. So whether it's talking to a Super Bowl champion or a NASCAR Cup Series champion, the Lights Out Podcast will bring it to you the only way I know how to. I'm giving you the best insight from the best who've ever done it. Listen to Lights Out with Sean Merriman on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
He was an NFL scout for the Carolina Panthers and the Seahawks, played for the Buffalo Bills, second-round pick. Now a Fox Sports NFL analyst, and we talk about the rumors, the Patriots moving up to get a quarterback, and Bucky Brooks now joins us live. So let me ask you, if you could get, as a former scout, Justin Fields, the Ohio State quarterback, with a lot of starts, I've seen a lot of them, or Trey Lance, who looks talented, but I don't have a lot of starts, who would you draft? Who would you pick?
I would go for Justin Fields over Trey Lance, but I think they're very, very similar. Both are dynamic athletes. Both are really body beautiful kids, meaning they're built the way that you want to see. 6'3", 6'4", 225 to 230 pounds. They're able to get it done not only with their arm but with their legs. And so when you think about the way these young guys are having success in the league, you have to have something that enables you to lean into a superpower. But when I look at Justin Fields and Trey Lance, both of them are athletic where they can run around and make plays until their game fully develops. But Justin Fields, to me, is still underrated in the process. I know people have fallen in love with Zach Wilson, but when you go all the way back and you track these guys from the beginning, Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence have always been 1-2.
Yep.
I think when we go back and we look at this in 5 years, we're going to say, man, we might have undervalued Justin Fields in this process.
Yeah, by the way, I agree. We do this all the time. You're starting to see somebody moves up, they go past where they should go, and Justin Fields, who was the better high school and college quarterback than Zach Wilson for most of his career now, has been suddenly downgraded. And I watched them against Clemson, and that I was sold. Big throws for 3 hours. one of the things that's interesting, I was surprised Washington – I was surprised Chicago went for Andy Dalton, a true pocket guy behind a shaky O-line. I was surprised what Washington did with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I think to myself, what are the Jets doing? Are they saying, listen, you're either going to give us a second-round pick or we're not moving Sam Darnold? Because it looks like his market's dried up. And I think to myself, 23, a lot of starts, very dynamic. What do you make of what the Jets are doing with Sam Darnold, Zach Wilson, their pick? Explain this to me.
Yeah, I don't think they really know what they're doing yet. I think they're still going through the process. I don't think it's a slam dunk that they're going to move on from Sam Darnold and make Zach Wilson the pick. And so what you want to do if you're the Jets, you want to make sure that you do the right thing. Because in essence, Colin, what you could do is you could build this team around Sam Darnold and see what Sam Darnold gives you, Or you can still take Zach Wilson and see if you get the right offer for Sam Darnold. But there's nothing that's saying you have to move on from Sam Darnold. I think maybe you want to see him in a different system, see what he looks like with upgraded personnel before you cast him off. And so you're not going to give him away. If you don't get the value that you want, then you also have to have a plan to keep him and to see if you can play him while you're building up this team to really come back and be a very, very competitive franchise.
Were you surprised Juju Smith-Schuster's talent at slot receiver, 97 catches? He's not a real dynamic after the catch guy, but it didn't look like he had much of a market. And I mean, Kenny Galladay, to me, I would spend money on Kenny Galladay. I think he's a great player. Little injury stuff, but a great player. But Juju didn't have much of a market. What do you make of that?
I wasn't surprised, because when you look at Juju's game, I think you have to worry about him having the responsibility of being a number one receiver. We saw him thrive and flourish when Antonio Brown was there. But when you remove AB, he didn't put up similar numbers. There's a big jump going from the number two receiver to being the number one receiver. When you're the number one, we expect you to be able to put up numbers despite facing the best corner, despite facing double teams, despite facing coverage that is tilted in your direction. You find a way to consistently get it done. Number two guys are your complementary players. They do it on the backside. They face number one. Juju never showed the football world that he could be a thriving number one. And because of that, I think people position him as a number two or number three, and they weren't going to pay big money for a secondary receiver.
You know, it's interesting. The Jets and Giants, in New York, has a recent history of this. Golden Tate for the Giants and the Jets, they spend big money in free agency. How do you, for some reason, wide receiver's been kind of fickle with free agency. There's a lot of big swings and misses. I always feel like offensive linemen, you kind of get what you get. Quarterbacks in free agency, you kind of get what you get, you know. Receivers, it's all over the map. When you were a scout, were there positions you were more willing to, you know, defend the free agent move and other areas you were less willing to defend it?
Colin, it's like we talked about with Juju. I think wide receiver is a very difficult position to scout. It's a difficult position to scout because there's more to it than catching the ball and making plays. How are they getting their production? Is it something that is a byproduct of the scheme where the play call is creating opportunities, or are they talented enough to be able to do it? And then it's about roles and what role are you placed in. As I talked about with the number one receiver, number one receivers, typically, they're not the fastest guys, but they're normally the most polished route runners. They understand how to get open. There's right. something different about them than the other guys. When I look at number two receivers, they're more the vertical threat, maybe the big body playmaker that's a specialist in a certain area. Maybe it's down in the red zone, or maybe it's just being a chain mover or a 50-50 ball winner. And so when you're scouting receivers, you have to make sure that you understand clearly who they are and what skills they bring, and you put them in a role that is similar to the one that they play in. Because most number twos can't take the step up to be the number one receiver. And so when we look at these free agent moves, you have to be careful. Is a guy a true number one? So when you talk about Kenny Galladay, I worry about Kenny Galladay being a number one receiver in New York, because the 1 year that we were expecting him to be the number one receiver, he was injured. So we've never really seen him do it. So can he do it on the big stage in New York with Daniel Jones? That remains to be seen, because they're paying him to be a number one. He has to be able to dominate each and every week.
About a minute left. Peter King suggested if John Gruden struggles in year four, Jack Del Rio had a winning record in 3 years with Oakland and made the playoffs. If Gruden struggles again in year four, did Mark Davis make a lousy business deal? Where do you land on Gruden?
Look, I think you have to say that. You can say whatever you want to say about Jack Del Rio. Jack Del Rio had more success early than Coach Gruden. And I think when you look at Coach Gruden and you look at the way the team has played and some of the puzzling personnel moves that have been made, yes, he certainly deserves his fair share of criticism. And so this is a big year for the Raiders, because when you look at them and you look at the division, where do they stack up in the division? The Kansas City Chiefs are the front runners. You're looking at the Chargers with Justin Herbert. They look like they have a star that is ready to pop. So are the Raiders the third or the fourth best team in that division? They need to make up ground for Mark Davis to justify making the move on Jack Del Rio, because the team that we saw under Jack Del Rio we saw them go to the playoffs under his direction.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, we also saw Derek Carr had one great year with him and then got injured. So, you know, I said this earlier. Gruden has monetized his brand. He's the Kim Kardashian of football coaches. You know, she's figured out a way to make money. God love her. And Gruden's found a way to make more money than any football coach of all time. He doesn't have a ton of wins, but he's figured out how to make money. Bucky Brooks, Fox Sports NFL analyst. Good seeing you.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Colin.
You bet. Yeah, Jack Del Rio had some success, and boom. You know, it's just 10-year deals. And also the Raiders. Gruden has such a strong brand with the Raiders. Some of Mark Davis hiring him was he could sell tickets. I mean, Gruden's, there are not a lot of coaches that sell tickets. People buy tickets knowing Belichick will create a good football team. It's not that he has buzz, but you know with Bill, it'll be good. You can make a strong argument. Gruden sells the second most tickets in the league. Just off the aura. Maybe Sean Payton, you know, again, they'll be very productive offensively.
But very rarely are fans going to see a coach or an owner.
Almost never. But
like
John,
Cowboys, Jerry Jones, and John Gruden.
But probably. Gruden kind of sells the Raiders. It makes it feel like, oh, the Raiders are back. They're just not. But it does feel when they hired him like, oh, we're going old school. Except the old school Raiders won. Hour 3, live in L.A., next.